Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome to Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I am here with the person that has all the answers, hopefully, today, and that is Jamie Malm. Jamie, our host, how are you doing?
I'm good. That was a lot of energy, Tony, so I appreciate that.
I'm trying to bring awesome. It. I'm trying to bring it today because we do have an important topic, and we need the energy. Hopefully, our listeners are going to take some notes and listen to your take on what the government shutdown and Fed rate decrease means for our finances. I think it's interesting what's going on out there. It seems like we don't have to work too hard to come up with topics. The show writes itself at this point.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, no shortage of topics to discuss. And the headlines, the negotiations, the interest rate cut, you'd think almost that maybe people are kind of in panic mode, or the markets are in panic mode, but things are actually pretty calm. So it's a lot of noise. Right. Investors that have been through this before know that markets tend to look past short-term drama like this, but it doesn't mean it's not without impact. So want to talk first about the shutdown, what that means, how it may impact you or not impact you, because I do think maybe there's still some questions floating around out there despite all the media attention and the headlines.
Yeah, I would agree. There probably are. And I think different people worry, like, is this going to affect the economy overall? And of course, if we have any federal employees out there listening, those are the people who, you know, are going to get hit the hardest, I think, obviously.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And at this point, some of us, I think, are like, again, you know, it's almost become an annual ritual. The government's fiscal year begins on October 1st. If anybody is kind of wondering, how do we get here? Why does this seem to happen all the time? If Congress doesn't pass a budget or they can't agree on spending measures, then we get this shutdown. So essential services like security and air traffic control, mail delivery, those are going to continue. But we do have thousands of federal employees that can be furloughed or they're asked to work without pay. And so we want to be obviously respectful of the impact to them individually. So when I say it's not without a lot of impact, I'm talking about those of us that aren't having our jobs and our livelihoods impacted, of course.
Yeah. Well, right. And I mean, you know, I really feel for federal employees right now because they're talking about a lot more layoffs. And I think it's the perfect storm because we have the government shutdown. They're also talking about trimming some more out of the federal workforce. And all those people who back when they were offering early buyouts of their, you know, early retirement and, you know, lump sum payouts.
Yeah.
That's all hitting now, right now. And some of those people are like, hey, am I going to get my check? Because October 1st was when they, or September 30th was their final date. And so I read an article about that. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think just a couple of things to be aware of. One, historically speaking, shutdowns last about 8 days. So there's been a couple of longer terms than that, but they tend to be short, and federal employees do tend to go get back pay. Like even if they're working without pay, we get those made up. Things tend to, you know, work themselves out, but it's natural to worry, especially as we think about what kind of impact it might have on the financial markets. So really in almost every case, it's a short-term shutdown. Stock markets during those time periods either held steady or they actually moved higher once the government reopened. Even if we look back at, I think it was 2018 when we had a record shutdown, it was like 35 days, that barely even registered on the market charts and the radar. It was just right. Short-term headlines, but it usually doesn't derail portfolios and investments.
Right. In fact, as of this recording, I saw the headline was S&P 500 hits another record high was the headline right. this morning. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. I thought with everything going on, the government shutdown, I was a little surprised by that. But you're right. I mean, a government shutdown doesn't necessarily have a direct impact on the market. And apparently it doesn't. Right.
So right.
That's good. Plus the Fed lowering rates, I think that does spur the market a bit. So we've got both of those things coming. Now, Jamie, the government shutdown could be over by the time our listeners hear right. the show. We just want to point that out, that as of we're recording it Tuesday, October 2nd, as of right now, it's still going on.
7th. Don't back us up a week.
Oh, 7th. Yes,
people will think we lost our minds.
Tuesday, October 7th. Yes. And did I say 2nd? That's weird. October 7th. And So, but the government shutdown does have effects. It can affect all of us, right?
Yeah. You mentioned something there that I think is just as important to talk about, which now it feels a little bit in the past where we're 2-3 weeks out from the Fed cutting rates, which is unusual when markets are at all-time highs. Usually that's not the case. Usually we see rate cuts when we're trying to spur markets into action. So September 17th, Federal Reserve made the decision to cut interest rates, which is the first time in 9 months. This is the first one of the year. Well, let's take a step back then and think about what that means to all of us. It means that borrowing could get a little cheaper. Mortgage rates could dip a little bit, but what we earn on savings, our cash, money markets, annuities, those things also come down. So we really have to think about, well, why make the move? One of the primary things that they're that they're looking at is job growth and unemployment. And if that starts to slow, if employment starts to get higher than what they are comfortable with, then we start to look at, well, how do we make sure the economy doesn't slow down too much? And that was a big reason why they started up the interest rate cuts that were in place last year. It just took us a while to pick those back up.
Yeah. So it isn't about runaway inflation anymore. Like back when they were raising rates to try to bring inflation down, it hit about 3% or just a little over 3%. So now they've shifted their focus because of problems they see in our near future with the job markets. And unemployment, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think this was referred to, I read this somewhere, they called it a curious balance. So we have fewer job openings, we have slightly rising unemployment, but it's not a crisis. And this is where perspective matters, whether it's rate cuts or it's shutdowns, it's political debates, markets tend to focus on the fundamentals, which primarily is how profitable are companies, not headlines. And that's what we have to keep in mind.
Yeah. So, but I'm sure we have listeners out there thinking, well, should I refinance or change investments or move to cash? What's the right takeaway here?
Yeah. The cash component is interesting. And we might do another episode maybe next week on keeping money on the sidelines, because that's where I think you're going to have the most immediate impact. But this is less about reacting, more about just reviewing your overall asset allocation. This, you know, a Fed rate cut first time in 9 months doesn't immediately lower a credit card bill. Doesn't immediately mean, oh, great, I'm going to go buy that house I've had my eye on because mortgage rates are going to come down. But it does set some things in motion. Borrowing may get cheaper in the future. Savings yields may dip. Opportunities for refinancing might open up. So really it's a time to review what What's most important and impactful for my situation? What are my personal goals? How am I currently structured? And am I in the right place knowing what may be coming in the future, or should I make some adjustments?
Yeah. And the housing market, it's a great example of how you just can't try to predict it or time it, because lower rates don't always spark instant demand. And if I know a lot of people, like my wife and I are, we have a 2.9% rate on our mortgage. Yeah.
You're living there forever.
Well, that's the problem. We've been there a long time, like 25 years, and now our kids are grown and out of the house, and we want to downsize. We want to move to it's a split level. We want to get rid of the stairs, move to a one level. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of years, but we're not going to give up a 2.9% interest rate for a 6.9, right? We're not going to double our interest rate. So we've been kind of sitting on the sidelines, and I think a lot of people have been.
Yeah, that's a good point. And whenever I talk to people that have those low rates like that, they same sentiment, you know, we feel a little bit stuck. Like, I'm never going to go and get that interest rate back right now, at least. And I don't know that I would say we want to hold out for 3% mortgage rates again. No, that might not
happen again. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we have to be realistic that that really wasn't the norm either.
No,
great, great while it lasted, but we have to take the good with the bad. We also weren't earning anything on short-term liquid assets. So you can't keep 2.9% mortgage rates and also go get 5% on, you know, a bank CD or a high yield savings account. We don't get the best of both worlds. So we're probably not going back to the 2.9% era, which is why when we see mortgage rates, or excuse me, when we see interest rates drop a little bit, there's not that immediate impact. We don't see the impact of suddenly now home sales are up. We still are going to see people probably sitting on the sidelines a bit for now, but they're watching. They're waiting to see what did this put in motion. And if you are somebody that's impacted by that, now is the time to be aware. Refinancing maybe is on the horizon for me in a year. Maybe I should be starting to look more seriously at moving if I know interest rates are going to come down, maybe in the 4.5-5% range, and, you know, not hold out for the 2.9, which
You. No, we're not holding out. We're not holding out for the same. Or certainly not better. We know this is as good as it gets, at least probably in our lifetimes. But for those people then sitting on the sidelines, like my wife and I think, you know, I hate to use their argument, but I've heard realtors say, I did a show where we interviewed a realtor top in their field, and they tell people, you're not buying an interest rate, you're buying a home. And everybody needs a home. And there's some truth to that, because you can always refinance once the rates come down. And that's their argument. But it's really hard when you have a 3% to go for a 6 and double it. However, at some point, if you have, you know, some people don't have a choice. They have to move because of their job or retiring, or they really want to downsize like us. At some point, we'll just have to dip our foot back into the pool and bite the bullet. But, you know, with talk of the rates lowering some more in this year and maybe next year, you know, waiting a little longer might not be a bad idea, but it depends on your situation. Right.
Yep. Agreed. And the other thing you have to look at is how you have your assets allocated, what may be appropriate for up and coming, how you manage debt, how you manage what's invested, how you manage the cash on the sidelines. All of that you should have some guidance on. We don't expect that you navigate all of that yourself, but we have to remember that markets are forward looking. They don't look at what's happened in the past and react. They are forward looking to what's coming, which is why we care about what are these things indicative of and what did they possibly set in motion. So markets are driven by earnings, they're driven by productivity and growth expectations, not the news, not the headlines. History shows us that shutdowns and these fiscal debates, they rarely change the economic fundamentals that drive our long-term returns.
Yeah. So investors might see a few bumpy days, but not necessarily a trend that lasts, right?
Yeah, I agree. A little bump in the road. We could see some temporary data delays. Like we mentioned, one of the things that they are really watching, the Fed was watching with that spurred them into action for the rate cut was the jobs report. Well, the updated jobs report was supposed to be released, I believe, October 3rd, and it's delayed because we have a government shutdown. Now, do they have all the data ready to go? Probably, but that has not been released yet. So we do have a few things that are being paused that once we're back in action, those may be released. That could spur further action. But it's temporary. You know, once the government reopens, The bigger challenge for investors isn't the event themselves. It's not the shutdown. It's not the rate change. It's how you're emotionally reacting to it. And if that is causing you to change something in your portfolio that's based on emotion rather than like facts and fundamentals.
Well, and that's where you come in because you eliminate, you take the emotional decisions out of it for people and you say, here, let's look at the big picture. And you're the big picture person as a fiduciary, as a financial professional. And I think that's really important, right?
Yeah, it's human nature. Fear, uncertainty. I don't know how this might impact me. I think this is going to have a negative effect. It causes us sometimes to make some knee-jerk moves. We pull money out. We try to time the market. We sit in cash. We get back in. And it's very, very difficult to have a success story with your financial life when you're making knee-jerk moves like that. So generally speaking, we want to keep our long-term goals in mind. We want to stay disciplined. We want to stay aligned with our goals. But if there is something in your life that is a potential change, a liquidity change. You want to buy a home possibly. There's an opportunity to maybe pay off debt if interest rates are dropping. Those are the things that you should be talking with your financial advisor about because those are the kinds of things that may cause a shift in how you're allocated and what your goal is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, make sure your plan aligns with your goals, not the latest headlines. I think people get caught up in that, as you pointed out. And for our listeners out there who want to make sure their plan is built to weather this kind of noise, they need to give you, Jamie, and your team there at Iron Horse Financial a call, or you can go online, right?
Yeah, you can always call us. So 620-377-6456 is our number. You can go on to ironhorsefinancialservices.com to schedule a complimentary consultation. One of the first things that I would recommend somebody do is get an updated risk tolerance in place. That is the foundation of your plan. You can go right onto our website and do that. It'll say get your risk score. That is simply how you feel about money, risk, loss, liquidity. You should always be aligned with how you feel about those things and what you're able to tolerate personally. Because it's one thing to put a plan in place, but if it is causing you not to be able to sleep at night, if you're like, I know I should be doing this, but I just can't, and you're making knee-jerk moves, that's not aligning with your goals. We need to make some adjustments there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really, really important. Give that phone number and web address one more time, Jamie, before we go.
Yep, it's 620-377-6456. That's our office number. And then the website is ironhorsefinancialservices.com. To get your risk score, you can go right online. It'll pop up, get your risk score. You'll get an immediate feedback on what that means for you. And then if you want to take it a step further and you want to get an actual allocation plan in place based on that risk score, we do those at no cost. It is something that we'll do for everybody that wants at least some initial guidance on where the heck do I start.
Awesome. I think that's great. Great show today, Jamie. Listeners, that does it for today's episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, here with our host, Jamie Malm.
We will see you next week. Thanks, Tony.
That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.